Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 94 and this week's guest is Angela Holm. Angela comes to talk to us about her projects with Triangles, and she's talking to us all the way from Portland. Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show 94. Andrew,
how are you doing? Hi, mate. You're right.
Yeah, good. We've played hooky for a few weeks. Sometimes it just works out that way, but we're back, and I'm bringing the heat, and you're bringing...
Very pleasant weather. Yeah.
I don't know. What are you bringing?
Very pleasant weather. Sunshine outside, but it's not too hot.
It's literally... you could literally die outside if you go outside here. It's awesome.
But I've got reason to celebrate, because anyone who's been... if you've been listening to the other podcast I do, would realize I've been banned from Facebook. Well, banned is a bit extreme.
For good reasons.
But I tell you what I was doing. I was setting up a Facebook page, okay, because next year sometime I want to start one-on-one darkroom workshops, just basic introduction and maybe photographing in the area where I live. And so I was setting this page up. And I got to a point where I posted it, so I kind of made, or published it, that's the term. And then I realized I didn't really want to publish it just yet, because it wasn't finished anyway, and I didn't really want to launch it till maybe later in the year. So I pressed a button on there which says, unpublish, which is okay, apparently, should be. And it comes up with a list to say, why do you want to unpublish? And one of them was, well, I'm not ready yet, so I clicked on that. And then I just lost Facebook completely. It says, sorry, you're timed out. You need to reset your password. I thought, well, okay, that's fairly straightforward. So I reset the password, still wouldn't let me in. It says, no, we think you're a terrorist or some kind of criminal. And I had to upload a picture of myself on my driving license. And at some point, And then it said, well, once a member of the team has reviewed your application, we'll see.
Oh, you
know? So nothing happened until about 3 or 4 hours ago, and I get an email that says, oh, looks like you're having trouble logging on. I thought, yeah, you could say that. It says, well, if you just click on this link, then we'll get you straight back in there. And I thought, well, that's just really weird. You know, 1 minute's like all kind of top secret, and you're having to upload a photograph. Unless my identity's now been stolen, it might have all been one big hoax. No idea.
Yikes.
But
intense.
But I tell you what, if I can before we introduce our guest, can I tell you what I've been up to?
Sure.
Because I've been up to exciting things. As I didn't have Facebook to play with, I spent an hour online.
You played with yourself?
I did. Yes. I spent an hour online, right? And I went to all the Ilford PDFs for their different films, and I went online to Kodak and some reliable internet sources. And I just, in a little notebook, I wrote out all the reciprocity failure adjustments. Now, I know you can just ignore these, as I very often do. But it was really quite interesting because, you know, I know that FOMAPAN takes loads of extra exposure. But I didn't really know how FP4 Plus compared with Delta and stuff like that. So I'd recommend folks out there, if you go to the Ilford sites, they give you a little equation, which is the actual time is the measured time on your meter raised to the power of something, and that something tells you how how long the times are, because FP4 is 1.26, as is Delta 100. So Delta 100 is much the same as FP4, and HP5 is 1.31, so that's a bit longer. FOMAPAN is just bonkers. And Tmax is not bad. Yeah, it's pretty good. Tmax 100, pretty good. 7 seconds become 10. I reckon if I was just standardizing on something that I didn't need to worry about reciprocity, Tmax 100 might work well. So that's a real... I'd recommend anyone do that. And secondly, in the post, I've been after Dallas showed his wonderful pictures on his Leonardo camera. You know, that's Eric Renner, the late Eric Renner of Pinhole Resource. He designed and sold these things. And I found one on eBay, and at the time I didn't realize they came in different focal lengths. And so this one turns up, and it is actually the 6-inch version. So this is like 150mm focal length, so it's like a normal view. So it's pretty tight, you know, so it won't appeal to you, I don't think. But I've been after a camera with a normal-ish angle of view for ages. And I have to say, Eric designed a really good camera. You know, it's very, very robust. And I think I'm going to use it a lot.
Cool.
There you go. That's me. That was exciting, wasn't it? Oh, and one more thing. I was in the darkroom earlier, and I made some prints from pinhole X-ray negatives, which I'm really pleased with, but I've not shared with anyone yet. So there you go. Beat that, then. What have you been up to?
Oh, my gosh. Not much. I've just been shooting 4x5. I used my the new 4x5 developer, the insert that I got, the Bees.
Oh, yeah.
And it works really good, actually.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit better than the SP445, I think, only because your agitation is more natural that you're used to doing with the Patterson tank already.
Yeah,
you know?
The SP is a bit, so, you have to be a bit random. Have you posted some pictures in the Facebook group about your experience with it? Because you should do.
No, I haven't. I should. Yeah, I will do that.
And particularly your thoughts on comparing that and the SP445.
Yeah, I need to. I haven't showed any of the shots because they were all just kind of testy, kind of, you know, whatever. Uh-huh. Some of them didn't come out for my own reasons, not because of the development, you know, but that insert shooting with the Ilford orthofilm that I can load under my little red light I have, it makes it a lot so much easier, you know.
Ilford also has the same reciprocity as FP4.
Oh, that's good to know.
Which is not bad, actually. 20 seconds become 44. Yeah. So at 20 seconds, you add a stop. There you go.
Yeah. So my recommendation would be, if you wanted to shoot 4x5 and you don't want to do the taco method with the rubber bands and then the tank, and you already have a Patterson set up, I'd say order the Bees because it slides right in there. No problem, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's nice.
I can also vouch for the 20th Century Camera one as well, the Jeff Perry one. That works well.
And then I've been finishing up shooting trash on the side of the road. I'm almost done with that roll. A couple more shots.
I've done a roll. I don't know what we're going to do next. This was.
Yeah, I don't know.
This was the project we were talking about with Henry, wasn't it, from the Tales from the Magic Box podcast.
But
we'll have to talk to Henry. Tell us what we're going to do next.
Yep. Come on, Henry.
So, look, we've clearly got a guest because she can barely contain herself, which is...
Hello, Angela.
Hi there.
Hi, Angela.
Hi.
So, Angela Home joins us.
Yeah. That's her.
We got chatting, didn't we, Angela, on about something or other on Messenger? I forget what it was. And what did we get chatting about when we invited you on? I can't remember. Probably about Photo Club PDX or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we started talking about Photo Club PDX, my photography club here in Portland.
This is cool. So I'm staring at your website now for Photo Club PDX, and it's really, really interactive, isn't it? I used to belong to a camera club years and years ago, but this is more than that. And also, the website is really good. The activities you've got on, I don't know how many you're able to have now. But you've got
Thank
this
you.
Somewhere. I saw this really interesting little timeline with the calendar. I've lost it now. With all things that you're up to, finishing in a Christmas party, which sounds brilliant, and a print swap. I've lost it now.
Yeah.
I did see it earlier.
Yeah,
oh, no,
it's
it was
the
right
front
at the bottom
page.
Of the homepage, isn't it? Yeah. So out of these things, what have you done then this year? Because it says, where are we now? July, August. So September, you should be picture the photographers behind the photos.
Yes. And so I was so organized. The club's been going for about, I think we're in our third year. And I was so organized this time. Like, I actually got the entire year scheduled before January hit. And then we had one meeting in January in person. And then COVID struck in March. And so my entire year had to get redesigned immediately, and this timeline had to get modified extremely, so all of the gray stuff had to get pushed aside and we'll try to do it another year. So what happened was I decided if we're going to, because I have members, Photo Club PDX has annual members that pay an annual contribution to be like an investor in the club. They get the discounts, the special events, all of that. So I'm like, how do I keep this club's designed in a way that these people can continue to participate and that we can stay together as a community? And so I came up with the Picture, the Photographers Behind the Photos series. And it's a virtual, it's basically a virtual interview and presentation with different photographers that may or may not be in the local area. And it's gone really well. We've had people, Patrick Joust was our first presenter, and he's from Baltimore, Maryland. And he's somebody I've wanted to have come to our club and talk. But of course, that's quite a distance. So this Picture series has allowed me to reach photographers that are far away and still have them right there on a screen with us. So it's been a really nice addition. It's also been our main activity until COVID is wrapped up and sent off. We'll probably continue to stay virtual.
Cool. I just clicked on that link to Patrick Joust, however you pronounce it.
Joust.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you've got a little YouTube video, and he's. Yeah. I am familiar with his work. I just don't always put names to. He's a lot of these color nighttime shots in the, you know, with mist around and bright lights, mm-hmm. and it's very striking.
Do you does Moni Smith, is she part of your print swap?
Did you say Melody Smith?
No. Moni.
I don't Monica. Know that I... Oh, okay. Monica. I don't know that name.
Oh, all right. Because isn't she... She's in Portland.
I think so.
Okay.
She, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no Zeb through the pinhole... Yeah. You know, the pinhole community, which is quite strong in that area, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, we have a lot of... Our group, our photo club, is digital and film and everything in between. So we have a really nice variety of people with different backgrounds in this.
So yeah. You would normally, in normal times, do you have a room that you meet in, or a building, or activities outside of the club?
Yeah, we do both, actually. So initially, when the club started, we had two meetings a month. We had our meeting where we'd get together, and it was more of an organized presentation. We would have a photo challenge, and then we would look at photos. We were actually doing physical prints and matting them. And then they were going into a gallery here in Portland, into the drawers of Blue Sky. So then we would also have an outing that same month that would go along with the challenge. So that was year one, but that was too much for me to manage on my own, because I have two businesses and I actually work a job. So I couldn't do that much. And so then we went to every other month, we would have a meeting and then an outing. And we started meeting at one studio, and we switched over to another studio. So we usually we meet in an actual photo studio, and they usually are one of our sponsors for that year. This time we met at our studio only one time, and it happened in January. And that was in a photo dance studio. I don't know if we'll get to meet again in person again this year, but
I hope so.
Yeah, we may be meeting again for outings, because we can be spaced away from each other.
Yeah, I was going to say,
if
you can go out in the park and walk, or you can go hiking, you guys should be able to do that. Just, you know, keep your distance.
Yeah. So right now, my main goal is to provide these, because, you know, as you see on this little calendar that I made, I'm so impressed that you read it. Sometimes I don't know if people read what I do on here. So
Oh, very impressed. I just want to come to your Christmas party, but I don't suppose I'll be able to.
Yeah. Hey, we might have a virtual Christmas party. No.
There you go.
So, yeah, we're still going to do in November, we have a portfolio review. I'm just going to recreate it so people can have their time with their person, like in a breakout room online. So the same with I think we have a writing workshop coming up for writing your artist statement or your project statement. Still going to do it all. It's just going to be virtual. And I'm going to keep Picture going, though. I'm going to keep doing it once a month, even once we start meeting in person, because I've now expanded Photo Club PDX to be a worldwide photo club.
There you go.
Yeah. So now we can extend the larger community and people can participate from anywhere as long as they have internet.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it'll just be another branch of the club.
Well, at the end of the show, we can just make sure that when we ask you to give out links and things, you can just restate that if folks want to come and have a look and from wherever you are in the world take part in some of these really exciting activities.
Yeah. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
So Angela, you know, you're clearly got your hands full with all sorts of activities, both, you know, digital, commercial, pinhole, this club. Tell us a little bit about how you got into photography and how you got to where you are now, and particularly your interest in pinhole and how that fits into your you know, your sort of life.
Okay. So I guess there's two times I got into photography. The first was when I was a little kid, probably about 8 years old, and my Nana gave me a Vividhar purple Avon camera film, it was 110 film. Mm-hmm. And I became the family photographer.
Mm-hmm.
At eight, you know, the normal things kids like to do. And then I was active in photography, film photography through junior high school. And even through junior high school, I ran the darkroom. And then once I was in high school, I pretty much switched over to music. I only had so much time, so I was a violinist and that took up most of my time. And then I didn't go to college right away. But when I did eventually end up back in college, I switched back from violin back to photography, and I was back in the darkroom again. That was in early 2000s when I went back to school for fashion design, I should mention, not photography. So at that point, I just did it for the fun of it, didn't really think too much of it, traveled and made pictures. But then after being in the fashion industry for a while, I was living in Wisconsin. I'm from Wisconsin initially. I wanted to move to Portland. I made it here. And I wasn't terribly happy with the fashion industry. But when I moved to Portland, I realized there were places here for artists, that my statement was, if you could dream it, you can make it happen. You can make it a reality. So I was like, I love photography. I want to be a photographer. And I started taking classes at New Space Center for Photography. The fashion company I was working at during that time had me doing a lot of photo documentation for the events that happened around the headquarters. And so I was able to get them to pay for my photography classes because it had something to do with my job. So I went into digital, actually, because I really was a film photographer for most of my life. So I wasn't super comfortable with digital. So I did some digital photography classes. Zeb Andrews was one of my teachers. And that is how I transitioned from digital photography to being introduced to Blue Moon Camera Machine.
Yeah. And did he just sidle up to you one day and says, Angela, come on, you know you don't want to be doing this digital stuff. Just come into my shop and see what we can sell you.
You know, I was so impressed because I might have done that, you know, like the way I am now and as passionate as I am about film photography, I am just like, I am so impressed well, how should I say it? Like how politically correct he was by not, he totally didn't do that. He was,
yeah, I know,
100%. I know, but it still impresses me because, you know, he definitely was teaching us digital photography, but then you would see his work, you know, he would show his work and you would see what he's doing and you would ask, well, how did you do that? What did you make that with? And everything was film. So of course, like, you're like, wait a second, I can still do film. And we have this incredible store here. So I started off with a Pentax 6-7 and then I moved on to a Holga 120N, and then I think the next camera I got was my pinhole. So Zero Image 2000 pinhole. And that was the hardest camera to learn, actually.
Yeah, I bet.
The Pentax, I love that. I just like melded with that so quickly. But no, the pinhole, like just getting your mind wrapped around that you're not seeing through a viewfinder and you have to figure out what's going to be in your frame. It just took me a minute. Like,
because the zero, unless they've changed it now, my one, it doesn't have any of those lines on, you know, where the lines where you can look down and kind of line it up with a pinhole and kind of get an idea of the angle of the view. The zero, although the zero used to come with those little masks, didn't it, which you could make yourself and just hold them up, you know.
Well, I didn't have either of those, but the trick was just to line your hand up over the top middle row, which tightens down the back on the camera, because if your hand lines up with that and then the corner of the, because mine has it has threads, so it's lovely. I can actually screw on ND filters and such. So you have that box that is protruding out from the camera itself, which is going to be the size pretty much of the negative underneath. So if you just use your hand to like create that X marks the spot, that is the whole trick. And you can do it up and down as well as sideways. And so once you learn that trick, it's a little bit easier.
So you're making it. You're just using your hands as a viewing mask, aren't you? Is that what you're,
yes, what you're doing? And I still do that to this day. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how I moved into pinhole. And to be honest, like, my Pentax has really been my main camera up until up until maybe a year and a half ago, where I started to get even more interested in making photographs that I really wasn't sure what they were going to turn out like. So the pinhole is fantastic for that, because you can kind of imagine what the pinhole can do with certain scenes, but then to make it and find out what it actually turns out like is exciting. So the pinhole, and then using different types of film in the pinhole, I just did, I think it was a roll of E100 and cross-processed it from a trip to Crater Lake. And was beautiful, huh?
The new E100.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was really pretty. So, and I have some turquoise. Well, no, I don't. I have some purple Loma Chrome like tucked away. And so sometimes I just try to take it to another level and pop something. I cannot get my hands on Aerochrome, otherwise I'd be like drooling over that.
Infrared. Yeah, I'd like to shoot some of that color infrared. I'd like to try and shoot some of that.
So what's
I've
cross-processed a number of slide films, not many modern ones, mainly just old stuff I've had lurking around, you know. Some old Velvia stuff before the new batch, so some sort of early 2000s. And I think the new stuff I found was going a bit on the green side, but I think, you know, so what does the E100 look like when you cross process it? Can people find it on your Instagram? Have you managed to share
I just got my scans back. So I'll get them up somewhere. I'll get them up on my Instagram here eventually. It's very punchy. Oh, so it's really contrast, high contrast and punchy. So was that Crater Lake? My blues are spectacularly blue, and I actually experimented a little bit with this role. I was trying to make a pano of Crater Lake using my pinhole, so making multiple shots.
You don't make life easy for yourself, do you?
No, sometimes I just want to see. I just want to experiment and see what's going to happen. That's been my current stage of between the pinhole and the, I have three Holgas that I'm experimenting with. Mm-hmm. It's just fun to see what you can make. And I often call our photography club, some of them are driven nuts by it, but I like to call them artists instead of just photographers. Because it has been something that's been a drive for me of recent is trying to create and make things instead of just being straightforward with my photography. So
it's the old age photographic not argument as such, that makes it too confrontational, but going back to the 1800s, there was those who wanted straight photography, photography seen as record making. And then there was those who wanted to copy the landscape painters, wasn't there? And then there were those who wanted to start expressing feelings through photography and emotions, and those who wanted to destroy negatives and create unique visual representations of the world. And all those things are good, and that's what's so exciting about it. And pinhole just, of course, adds another opportunity to be even more creative.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So your pinhole work, folks listening to the show, probably a lot of it, if you go to your website, Angela, that's a good place to start, isn't it? If folks go there and look for your album called Work, and in there they're all industrial stuff.
Photography is for pinhole. Mm-hmm. What were you shooting with that under the paper, Angela? With the lock that what we were talking about with the swirly.
Yeah. So this first image, that's the one you're talking about, isn't it? So you're looking down as though you're about to jump into a lock,
or
with the lock gates looking straight.
Yeah,
down.
That's what I do on the weekends.
You're a tombstone.
Jumping to random bodies of water.
I feel sick and dizzy looking at it.
I actually, the owner of this paper mill was standing off to the side, and he trusts me enough at this point to just be nobody would ever be allowed to be right here generally. But yes, I was using, are you guys there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Everything got quiet for a second. So I was using Ektar 100 for this.
Cool.
Yeah. Just checking out my Lightroom catalog. So Ektar for this guy. I usually, in my pinhole, I generally have Ektar 100 or Portra 400 is generally what I'm shooting.
Do you mess with Expire? Are you into the expired film scene and any of that, or are you just?
I enjoy it when I land. Like sometimes somebody will just be giving away film, and I'll get a handful, or I'll get to choose out some film from a box, and I love doing that. I don't usually go out of my way, not at this point, to find expired film.
Sure.
But I do enjoy, again, because it's a bit of a surprise what ends up coming out of the camera.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Currently, there's a handful of films that I know about that I can go to experiment with right now that is keeping me entertained enough that I haven't been...
Portra,
doing my research into.
So not Portra, Ektar. I was reading something online the other day. I think a lot of folks would go towards Ektar. And someone online was saying it's probably, I think it was a camera dealer somewhere or film dealer saying we sell more Ektar for pinhole. You know, it seems to be the go-to colour film for pinhole. And when I was doing my reciprocity studies over the weekend for colour, I've just reminded myself how reliable it is, because you don't really need to make much adjustment to times at all, certainly not, you know, much beyond about half a minute or even a minute, then probably a minute you need to double it. But, you know, you can get away with a good up to sort of 30 seconds of not really changing any exposure. So that makes it super easy. You know, you can, and it's a wonderful, vibrant color film, and it works great in pinhole cameras.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the fact that it's 100 speed, it's a little bit slower. So if you don't want to use an ND filter, it does give you that little bit more time.
Are these all generally with Ektar? Because they've all got the same, apart from the ones that are green, the same tonal look about them.
So let's see. Let me jump back to my...
Just so people know, we're looking at... I'm looking at Falls Paper Co. So it's... Yeah, so you've got all these, this is all the, is this all the paper mill or is this different places?
It is. Series. So they're not all Ektar. Some of these are Portra 400. For example, if you were to look at the one of the building that the water is getting pushed out from the building, it's a nice blue soft sky. Yep. That one is Portra 400. And... let me just check on there's a very good possibility that Cinestill, I did experiment, and I don't think it's in this, but I was experimenting with Cinestill 800, but
The stuff that Andre's guy, isn't it?
Yeah, I shot a roll of that pinhole over Christmas, and I posted a little blog about it. I don't know if you saw it, Corey, but it was Christmas pinholes.
Christmas pinholes.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
using Cinestill 800T, and it was good. It's all right.
I use that film pretty much completely in my night work in my Pentax 6.7 because I love the red halos that it creates. It's just a bit of an interesting look. But I would say it would be safe to say that the pictures in this gallery of the paper mill that are squares are Portra 400 or Ektar 100. You do get into the rectangle. You'll see a couple of those are 6.7 photos. So those ones, it's so nice. You can tell rectangle versus square. You automatically.
I was like, wow, these rectangle pinhole shots are really sharp.
Well, since, you know, when you're making galleries, you're like, who's going to be looking at this? Do they want to know it's pinhole or do they want to just look at the picture?
Yeah, so, just look at the picture.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
That green room was, you know, the funny thing was these photos, I don't know if it's funny, but the interesting thing is this factory, this mill, when I did this project, was shut down. This is like a well over 100 and some year old mill, but they had a lawsuit that they were in the middle of because they got some bad, I just forgot what it's called, like the pulp. They got some bad pulp and it destroyed a machine in some way, and so they had a lawsuit happening, and I was in here while it was shut down, and then made this entire project, and they actually were able to open up again. And so through COVID and through this whole season, they've been making paper and mailing labels and going strong. So I haven't been able to get back in there lately because of COVID. And the factory is up and running, so it's just kind of interesting, kind of backwards from what's happening in the rest of the world. So,
but if you know someone in charge there or supervisor or whatever, and gets you access normally in non-COVID times,
yes,
you know, you've got the beginnings of a great little sort of project here, haven't you? Very industrial pinhole stuff. So,
Yeah.
And some of the old rusty. Some of these things here, presumably they're just leftover parts of things that are no longer used. It's clearly still a functioning mill, but it's got Correct. Bits that are just old and rusty as well.
Yes, and that's where I'm like, just get me through the mill and get me back to the old rusty. I won't be in your way.
No. Yeah, so she's
just me and the pinhole.
Just leave that strange lady over there with a pinhole camera photographing yeah. the rusty doors. Do you know, I've hopped over to your Instagram and folks can find Angela _home_photography, something like that.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. And the tip is to do # if you want to see Angela's pinhole pictures, mostly anyway, there's one or two other ones that creep in, #AHP_pin, then up pop 50 odd pictures, most of which are Angela's. And I'm glad I've just ordered some Epitar 100 ready for a trip, an upcoming trip later in the year. But you see, we don't have voodoo donuts. And Curry, have you seen these two shots, voodoo donuts that Angela took? You know of voodoo donuts? Do they have those where you live?
I don't know what
it is. Only in Portland.
It's only Portland, is it?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Apparently, it draws in immense crowds, so Angela says.
Yes.
And these indoor pictures you've done of voodoo donuts with your Zero Image pinhole and Ektar 100. Whoa. I mean, I don't know if the colors are really this eye-wateringly bright, but
they were there.
The donut, you've got a donut there with icing on and all these, you know, M&M type things on top. Oh, mm-hmm. man. Are you seeing these, Corey?
Mm-hmm. Look good.
Don't they?
So, dig in.
I like the one with the people blurred. I like the one with the people blurred. Yeah.
The story behind that photo, that was actually a Photo Club PDX photo challenge that I gave the club. And so I tried to do the photo challenges too. And the photo challenge was to see your city as a tourist would see mm-hmm. your city. And so...
Good idea.
Yeah. And so each person in the group picked a location and then you handed it like over two times, like your neighbor, we were sitting in rows and it's like, okay, pass your slips over to two people. And then that person ends up getting the place that you suggest to go visit. And I got Voodoo Donuts. And so Voodoo Donuts is insanely busy most of the time. There's like people lined up around the block. And so I was so fortunate to go in at this time of day and there wasn't a huge line. And I told them what I was doing. And I asked them, can I stick my pinhole like in different places? And they literally let me go. They gave me a donut to work with. This one has, I have nice. Two. I have one with Fruit Loops and I have one with M&Ms. The one with M&Ms, they let me come behind the counter and put my pinhole on the rack. It was made. That one was made with Ektar 100. I think because of the, let's see. I don't edit the photos too much, but this one is extra vibrant. So I'm curious as to if I can tell you in just a moment. Yeah, so I was shooting towards the windows. So that's all. I just pretty much took the highlights down a little bit and it really made the colors pop even more. So Ektar is pretty bright.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how you control it really other than with a pinhole camera, but certainly with a lens camera.
Oh, I did
camera.
It in post.
Yeah,
post.
But certainly yeah, with a lens camera, depending on how you expose the film. You know, if you underexpose it, like portrait, I suppose, then the colors do deepen. And if you overexpose it,
a bit more saturation.
Yeah, yeah. Portrait goes. It's quite a lot of people are liking to shoot portrait at the moment, aren't they? Kind of slightly more overexposed, so that's almost going pale and you know. It's quite a nice look. It's quite a nice look, I suppose.
Yeah.
But did you get to eat the donuts? That's the thing.
I'm gluten free. No,
oh,
they actually, So it's easy, you know, I just go in and I'm like, ooh, they're so pretty. They're like pieces of art. And then I'm not tempted to eat them.
Have you gone back and shared the pictures with the owners or the franchisee? Oh, you should do.
I should, though. Yeah. Honestly, I haven't been. Yeah, I guess right now I'm not even thinking like that. But this was shot a couple years ago. You can even see it. It's because the Photo Club PDX website actually has galleries of the challenge photos back when we were doing challenges.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure this one's in there as well. That website is like a rabbit hole. You can just really find a lot of things if you dig. But
I'll go and have a proper look later on because it looks fantastic. And so congratulations on that.
Thanks.
The other one I love is the one with the trees. Don't know what kind of trees they are, with all the four leaves on the floor. And again, Ektar's just made the green, the diffused light coming through them, the beautiful green leaves, I guess in springtime. No, it can't. Well, is it? Yeah, that's confusing. It looks almost like the trees have got young growth on there, and yet you've got all these fall colours on the floor.
Is it a small tree? Let's see which tree you're talking about.
Well, they're looking. No, there's a whole grove of them, and right in the centre, it goes right down the avenue, and there's a tiny white dot right in the middle, which must be a gate or something.
Oh, yes. The straight trees.
What are they? The land of trees, you've called it.
The straight trees.
Straight trees.
Yeah.
Is there such a thing as a straight tree? Is that the technical name for them?
I think the ones they're talking about, if I see straight trees, I just like, am just.
You have to do it, don't you?
No, I have to do it.
You have to, yeah. There's a woodland near where my mother-in-law lives, and it's just like this, you know, but obviously not in Portland. And you're just drawn to it, aren't you? Particularly times of the year, because it just changes. It's great in springtime when there's not too much leaf covering up.
Yeah, this, I'm looking for it. Are you in my Instagram?
Yeah, in your Instagram. Okay. Yeah, it's just above your voodoo
yes.
donut one.
So
yeah.
I've been back to that grove a couple times. I actually tried an experimental picture with moving the pinhole up and down. So, you know, the straight,
yeah, because this is level, isn't it?
This
is dead level, isn't it, this one?
Yeah. But it was just too abstract. I didn't really love it. But this one, yeah, it's just so neat the way nature can make patterns and then the way that the pinhole can capture them. Because that's just a straight picture through a pinhole.
Mm-hmm.
Straight picture, straight trees, straight horizon.
We've had one or two guests on in the 94 episodes that we've done who've used zero images. And Corey, you'll know because I've remarked on them, but this kind of center, you know, because the image comes with the horizon dead in the middle, some people say, oh, you've got to have your horizon, you know, a third up or two thirds down or whatever. And some pinhole cameras, like, you know, the realities have the adjustable pinhole, so you can do that. But actually, there's something about the way the Zero renders, and I know it's not unique to Zero, but, you know, it's a certain look. And we had a guest on, and forgive me, I can't remember who it was, and he did the portraits, didn't he, and bang in the middle, you know, using the Zero in a seascape and stuff like that.
Well, if you can get the horizon to split the frame perfectly, and you'll have, you know, something completely different above the horizon,
yes,
below the horizon.
And makes,
you know,
it like this, and it makes it, yeah, doesn't it? Makes it really, mm-hmm, really interesting. It's a very strong compositional tool, but not one that you're taught about. You know, when you're learning photography,
yeah,
you're taught this rule of third thing, aren't you? And said, this is what you must do.
Kind of keeps your eye moving. You know, you're always kind of.
I'm just staring straight down the middle at that little white dot. You know, in the middle.
Figure out what's what.
I think this picture too, there's, you know, there's definitely symmetry happening, and then there's almost a V taking your eye. I'm not sure how the V is being made. I think it's in the tree trunks.
It's kind of
drawing you into that
and the
center.
Shadow as well, Angela. You've got the dark, you've got the V form from the tree trunks.
Yeah.
That brings you down to a point at the bottom, and that area's the fall colors are much lighter, and then they go darker on the sides, which, you know, which might just be the fall off on the pinhole, I don't know. But it gives you a V shape, doesn't it? So it's a really powerful composition.
You know, I actually find it very challenging to not get my horizon in the center of the photo with the zero image. I think that for me, it's been because sometimes I'm trying to not have my horizon land in the middle. Sometimes it works, but it is a little tricky because knowing just how much to tilt the camera up and down and how much you have to get it off center.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the one thing I would still say I haven't fully mastered for sure.
Well, it's tricky because like just a little bit too much and it totally throws the whole thing off. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Like just a little bit or just enough, you know, or just kind of.
Because I don't think Zero haven't introduced a model with multiple pinholes, have they? They've just done.
I don't think he will either. He doesn't really seem like he's.
If you want, it's you just want a rise, don't you, to get more sky? And if you want more sky, you use the upper pinhole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We need to get him on because I think he's part of the Lenses group, the Mr. Zero.
Yeah, he's in and out. He was in surgery or something, wasn't he? He had something going on.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, just recently, yeah.
He would be good.
Mm. Not as good as Angela is, though. Angela, you're the best.
Oh, you guys are so nice.
And you like these, don't you? Because you've got this wonderful swimming pool as well. That's my other favourite shots. Swimming pools are so good. So good, aren't they? See, and then if you'd have done it, you could have done a self-portrait by jumping in whatever this thing is and got yourself right in that V.
Do you know how dirty that water is? That water is so dirty.
But yeah, you're missing a person right at the bottom there, Angela.
I know.
You should have jumped in and suffered to your arts. Some ducks.
There were, but they didn't stay for the picture, you know.
Yeah.
I think I do like. I'm finding I like triangles. I like triangles, and triangles are parts of V's, which you'll see in my experimentations with my Holga. But yeah, I guess leading lines in general are just a lot of fun.
And it works really well with pinhole. Where can we see some Holga pictures somewhere? Where can we see Holga pictures?
Yeah.
There's some on...
We love Holga. Holga's
Instagram
my favorite camera.
Holgas.
How do I find them? Just the normal...
I would suggest, first off, just going to my Angela Home Photography Instagram and then scrolling down and you'll see a triangle project that's pretty obvious. And then you'll see some other... standalone images as well. I'm still getting my.
There's a portrait of Andrew here. It's called the Bigfoot sighting. That's a picture of Andrew right there.
Yeah, I've got you. Oh, black and white. There's some black and white. Look, Holga 120.
Sorry, Andrew, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I'm not that hairy.
I'm so glad. Like, that was just a side tourist stop, and I'm so glad I took time to stop there because. I love those pictures. They were so fun to make, and they're just fun.
Holgas are just the best, aren't they? It's, I think holgas and pinholes are the two things I make most images with and continue to.
Sure, me too.
And when people seem surprised when they discover the holga. There's been a few people in Facebook groups recently who've discovered holgas for some time, and they said, "I can't believe how I've not." Realized how good a Holga is.
Yeah, so all of those triangles underneath the creatures, the wooden statues, those are all from a Holga where I made a mask, a homemade mask.
Say, are you putting a mask or insert in or something yet?
Yep. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
What are you making the masks out of?
So,
'cause it looks almost like they're transparent. They kind of.
Yes. Okay, so I started making them the first time I made it out of a heavier black paper, which was almost like a plasticky paper. And so that one was I actually did that black and white series. That's what that was made out of. And then that texture over it is from the photo. So I just overlaid, I made it a little bit as well in Photoshop. But the color ones where you go down below, those ones I made with a white cardboard mask. And it was such a happy surprise that the sun came through the paper.
Yeah.
And so
you've got the sunshine, haven't you, coming through next to the rock.
So you can actually see the sunset. You can see the remainder of the photo even through the mask.
Mm-hmm. Where are you placing the mask in? Because weren't you using some masks, Curry, as well, that somebody sent you?
Yeah, Graham from the Homemade Camera podcast, he sent me some, and they just, you put your regular film mask in, and then they just kind of like popped over top. They dropped in.
Yeah.
Inside the mask, you know what I mean? Like inside of the mask, they just dropped in there.
Okay. So behind the film, towards the back of the camera, is that?
Yes.
No. In front of the film.
In front, yeah.
Yeah. In front of the film, mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't remember if I had it. I think I had to take the insert out. Then I put the masks in because they like, it was like a little tabs on the top and the bottom. I can't remember. It's been so long since I did it. But it either snapped right over top of your square insert, or I took the insert out and then it snapped.
Yeah, maybe he made them 3D printed to replace the
Yeah, he totally insert. Did. He totally did. He printed them up.
So actually, I'm looking more and more of these now, these triangular series. So you're clearly, do you want to tell me the story here? Because it starts with chapter one and then there's watching the clock.
Yeah. That particular series was kind of a Alice in Wonderland themed, you know, just like the feeling of, I love Alice in Wonderland. I love the stories, Wizard of Oz, all of that stuff. So I was just trying to create a kind of a feeling of mystery and exploration with this young girl. So the idea is she has this watch and it's from her grandfather. Little does she know that the watch was not always her grandfather's. And so these creatures from another land are watching her come in and try to steal the watch back. And so that's kind of what this little story here is mm-hmm. about. Just kind of a playful thing. I thought about doing more chapters on this particular story. But I think what the story is actually lending itself to is just a whole nother project that I have in mind using the triangles. So that might be a one chapter, or like a one book. It's not even a book, but I do have it in chapters. A one book project. And then I may move on with my next one I have in mind, which is Top Secrets. So I cannot tell you about it yet. If I tell people about it, then it's like I already did it. I can't have that satisfaction yet.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is one of the most creative uses of the Holga that I've seen.
Yeah.
Really good stuff.
Oh, definitely. Thank you. So, well, wait, I have more coming. I would like to step back and say the journey I've been through with masks so far was, because it just was an idea I had. Photo club, we had another challenge that was photographing another aspect ratio, and mm-hmm. I joked around that I was going to shoot in triangles and I was going to become known as a triangle photographer, and it was a total joke. But I developed this mask and I did not get my photo done because I have to shoot a whole roll of film, right? So I didn't get my photo done in time for the challenge, but I kept on with it and tried the white paper mask, the black paper mask. Then I talked with Randy from Holgamod, and he designed me a 3D printed plastic transparent mask and a black mask that clip in, because with the paper masks, I was having a problem with them untaping and rolling up in my film.
So that sounds more like what Graham has done, doesn't it? Some kind of clip-on mask.
Yeah, it's a hard plastic structure, you know, like stiffer.
I'm running into a problem where I haven't figured out what it is yet. I'm getting light leaks in the form of straight lines in the same place through the entire roll of film. So it's happened in different cameras. The mask, and so when the mask clips onto the sides, we're trying to figure out if those portions where it clips, it's actually letting light in consistently And so I'm getting these really, really harsh lines. So I have now gone to my third mask, which I just made yesterday. I taped it in, but I discovered, because I left my mask accidentally at home on this trip to Crater Lake, that I have three Hogas, and the one that I use gets beautiful light leaks if I leave my mask out. So now I'm going to, this will be the first time I have used a white paper mask that folds around the edges, tapes out of the way of the film, and I designed my size of my triangle a little bit smaller so they don't cut off in scanning so easily. And I think that I might have my mask because it's white, so I'll still get the glowing.
Yeah.
Really excited.
Well, you've certainly put the effort into it, so well done.
We expect great things, Angela.
Yes. And I'm like, I keep making this triangle smaller. I'm like, my picture keeps getting smaller and smaller.
But
if it shines through the mask, you still have the rest of the composition. Yeah. So
sure.
Further down in your Instagram feed, Angela, again on the triangle theme, I can't work out whether it's railway tracks with the shocking pink is it railway tracks? It might be, or a car. It might even be a highway with shocking pink trees.
Oh, yeah.
I can't work out what that shot with, but either camera or film. Is it some kind of color infrared?
No, actually, that's the actual scene. You're talking about the one that says, I can sense the cherries coming. Those are cherry blossoms. And that's the steel bridge. And it is a train and a bridge. It was shot with Portra 400 in my Leica M3.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yes, I don't know why.
I think he's thinking about a different picture.
Am I? I think I must be. This doesn't look like a Leica shot. This looks something much
blurrier.
The
picture you're talking about is like, it looks like you're standing, a path much followed is well paved.
Yes, that's it.
Resistance is minimal.
A path much followed is well paved. Resistance is minimal.
You're standing up on the railroad tracks, looking down them, kind of like towards the point of the vanishing point.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
That's
like
the one
towards the horizon.
Let's see. So are you down further from my?
Yeah,
down from your donuts and your bright tulips.
Okay. I know we have these landmarks.
And
let's see.
Using the same film stock, I guess, there's a guy standing on a rock.
Well, click on the photo because I usually write.
Let's see.
Because my computer just stopped.
109 weeks ago.
Wow.
Creative. It's infrared. It says infrared.
Does it? I couldn't see that.
Yeah, it says.
Oh, yeah, infrared photography. IR creative. Yeah.
But it doesn't say if you did it with film or if you did it with
It would be film because I had one roll of infrared film.
Yeah.
But then I also had an app. I had an app at one point. Let's see.
I guess it's the same, very much the same look. You've almost got a Chinese painting going on here, or Oriental painting. It's the Olympic National Forest with all the same pink sky. And
okay, pink. That is probably my camera app.
I got you. That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, I have this, I think it was called Full Spectrum camera app that would allow me to make infrared-looking photos.
There we go.
And it's just gorgeous because, again, it's really hard to land infrared film these days.
I think the FPP store was selling some color infrared. I think, don't you have to use an orange filter or something? I think you do.
Yeah. Are they still? Because I know that they were. I bought a roll for $40.
Good Lord.
I shot it. Yeah, I did find that photo you're looking at. Isn't it so beautiful? But that app will only make like lower res photos.
That's why I didn't think it was a Leica M3.
No, yes, not. It was not. So yeah,
$40 a roll. Holy mackerel!
Yeah, from the photography film store or whatever.
When you think about it, what was that, 24 or 36 frames?
24, I think.
Okay, yeah. So it's like shooting Polaroid original stuff, isn't it, probably?
Yeah. You know,
$2 a frame or something. Think of it that way, then you can justify it, Angela, you see.
I know, right? Then you just, like, take forever to shoot through it. Because this costs me so much.
Yeah, you can justify it. If you know you're going to get the value out of each frame, you can justify it. Because, you know, you can go out of an evening and, you know, go to a restaurant and you blow that same amount. And what have you got afterwards? You know, you've enjoyed your meal. You've got a bit of indigestion. And you go home and have to go home and lie down. Or you can buy your roll of $40 film and create some wonderful images.
Stretch it out over a month. Or longer.
Yeah, it's true.
So in these socially distanced times, spend your money on film.
There you go.
Right. Because you can be with film and not have to worry about what you're catching.
Just spend all your money on film all the time and don't even worry about it. That's it.
There's no groceries at the grocery store anyway, go buy a film.
Yep, film and beer.
Film and beer. Hey, that shelf life project that I did.
Yeah.
Combined film and beer.
There you go.
And cheese and milk and
all the fun stuff. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, awesome. So, what are you planning on doing in the future? Well, you already told us that you won't tell us, but. Do you have any
secretive plans?
New cameras? Do you like to make any cameras? Are you planning on messing around with that any, or do you kind of feel like you're just happy with the Zero?
I do have a box of tin cans that I found at a rummage sale that I teach youth classes and some private lessons and such. So I was like, if I buy the box of cans now. And they're all different. I have two different shapes. I have one that's a really long tube, and then I have others that are normal, like big coffee cans. So I might experiment with making pinholes for fun to work with kids.
That's cool.
Yeah. As far as me and my personal projects, I'll tell you, here are some of my secret clues. So I have been a little bit interested with past plagues, pandemics, epidemics, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I've been reading up on the history of plagues and such. So my project may have something to do with that. My next pinhole triangle. That's all I can say.
That weird guy with the pointy face, you know, the black
He was a bubonic plague man, wasn't he?
And I happen to have a mask with incense and petals.
Because he thought that would stop the disease.
Yeah, because the scent was so horrific.
It's like the equivalent of drinking bleach today, isn't it?
Oh my gosh. Shooting
yourself up with bleach?
I don't think the incense killed them, though.
No, that's true.
So I have all these masks, and yes, I do have a mask such as that I have not used yet.
Don't tell us.
That's all I'm going to say. You're the one that said that.
I
didn't offer that.
Sorry.
So yeah, I have that. I've been doing a lot of macro floral photography
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, because I'm posting a lot of that. That's Pentax 6-7. With two lenses coupled, and one of them is backwards.
How do you manage that mirror slap? You got that? You got it on a tripod, I'm assuming, with the.
Oh, with the mirror slap. You can manage the mirror slap. I used a 6-7 for several years, and the camera's so heavy, the mirror slap doesn't really affect things.
Yes.
You can lock it up anyway. If you've got the mirror lock up one, you can lock it up.
You must have arms as big as the Terminator, aren't
you? Dude, I am so muscular. It's been my exercise routine through COVID.
There you go.
Have you thought about doing this with pinhole cameras? Because, you know, if you get
flowers
with the light, put it right up, to the petals.
You know, I have thought of it. I've actually tried doing a little bit back when the cherry blossoms happened, which was in like April, but it wasn't a very success. Like, I didn't try very hard. I tried holding my some photography by just holding my camera and to see what would happen if I didn't use a tripod, like put the camera, I tied the camera up in the tree. But I did have some ideas where, which I don't mind sharing, like I thought about getting, making a little trestle thing that I could hang from my ceiling, put a bunch of flowers in it and then put the pinhole on its back and then bring the flowers down low. So
yeah,
I could maybe have even a funky light up above. So I've thought, I just haven't done yet. If only I could make a few clones, I could assign everybody a different camera. And so, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I've been following a guy on Instagram. His account is dead_pinhole.
Yeah.
And he's been taking flowers and literally like setting them on top of his camera. Not even coming close to it.
On top.
Just setting it
right
on top.
They're insane, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. So if you get a second, go check it out. His Instagram is dead, DEAD underscore pinhole. Christoph, yeah.
That's okay, awesome. Found him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
When we started.
And if you scroll down maybe three or four sets, you'll see some sunflowers. And right past that, there's like a some kind of flower that he put. He puts them.
Yeah.
He's been doing that, like setting stuff right on his.
Sweet.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I guess how close can you really get, right? The closer, the better.
Yeah. Well, I kind of talked to him like just messaging, you know, on Instagram, whatever, and something. And I said something about getting closer and then like just joking around. And then he's like, I'm going to put it on top of it. And so then he just started like, he came up with this idea of doing, you know, just to like put it on top of it, you know?
And sounds like that was your idea. Curry.
Well, no, I mean, I'm always the one saying, I'm just always telling people, you know, like, get closer, you know, get closer. And then he's like, okay, you know, and so like, I didn't really tell him the idea to do that. It's his idea.
He just got
just
close.
Interesting. Really yeah. Close. He just like, he puts it and they look really cool. I mean, it's like full on filling the frame with your subject. You know what I mean? Like there's no,
this is becoming like a challenge. So I have some ideas now. Yes. I'm going to try. Yes, I'm going to take the ideas I've had with my Pentax 6-7 because I've done some. Sometimes, you know, the camera's just too heavy and the breeze is just too much, any breeze is too much. So sometimes I'll make friends with my neighbors and then they'll give me flowers.
There you go.
And I photograph them like in my window instead of. Because then I can prop my camera on my knees as I'm sitting in the windowsill with my legs
control
up.
It. Sure.
Yeah. So I'm just going to take that, add the pinhole to the mix, and I'll have a whole nother project. And then this can keep growing.
It's constantly ever evolving and changing.
Yeah.
Have you completely off the wall, but I'm staring at your top of your Instagram feed, it just says here, followed by Lens Optional and Lorraine Healy, who has been on our show. Have you met Lorraine? Because she lives out on one of those funny little islands in the water.
I feel like I have, but no, I haven't. You know how you see people all the time in your feed and you know their photography and
I don't know if she ever leaves her island, but
she travels. She goes to South America a lot.
She does. Yeah, she is.
Oh, she's on Whidbey.
Whidbey Island, with Graham, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Homemade camera. Okay. Graham Young. Yeah, Lorraine's a poet and such a great Holger lover and a fantastic pinhole user.
And, I think she's been. I've seen a lot of either pinhole or Holger from her lately on my feed.
Yeah, pinhole probably.
Okay. Yeah, she's way into it.
She is.
Yeah. Sweet.
But aren't we all?
I'm amazed, though, afterwards. Show 94, I thought, you know, when I joined you, Corey, at show 6, I thought, well, we get to about 30 and we'll have to start getting the same people back again. But it's never ending, isn't it? You know, you're going to have to get Mr. Flower Man on Dead Pinhole.
Now we're going to have to get Chris off to come on and talk to us. Yep. There you go.
Yep. Good.
Cool. Well,
I didn't realize that War Boy Snapper was you, Andrew.
Did you not?
I just discovered that.
Yeah, that's me.
He has so many hands.
Well, I've got two Instagrams. You can find me as War Boy Snapper and War Boy Snapper _ pinhole. So I have one account just for pinhole stuff.
You don't. No, you get to enjoy Andrew twice.
Yeah, you do. And yeah,
you're not. I was following your pinhole already.
Say again, sorry.
I was already following your pinhole.
Were
one.
You? There you go.
Thank you
very much. And yes. Have you progressed up to large format photography yet? Because I could recommend another podcast.
I have not.
Look,
not
you.
You can listen to another great podcast called the Large Format Photography Podcast.
Well, that's easy to remember.
Yeah. Census selfless plug. No.
Yeah, that's me. War Boys is the village where I live, cool. Angela. And Snapper just means I take pictures.
I'm jealous, Andrew, because I can't have that broad of an interest, you know? I have to zero in on one thing.
I'm jealous of people who just don't get diverted like I do.
I hear you.
I would love to be narrow focused, you know, one camera, one film and a very clear idea. But I've got so many ideas, so many things on the go. But that's actually, I've come to terms with that now. And I think that's what I enjoy. So it's not people are different, aren't they?
To each their own.
Yep. Angela, where can people find you, your club, and where can they join the PDX club and all that sort of stuff?
Photo club? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the best places, easiest places to begin are the websites. So angelahomephotography.com.
That's H-O-L-M, isn't it? Not H-O-M-E.
Yes.
H-O-L-M.
H-O-L-M. And you can find my Instagram profile from there. And then from that Instagram profile, you can find all my other Instagram profiles.
Yep.
And then Photo Club PDX is open to people even outside of Portland. And that is photoclubpdx.com. And you can find our Instagram from the website as well. And you can go on to the website and find information about membership or upcoming activities, which anybody can join in on.
That's really clear. You've got this, you're intriguing people. You're getting people intrigued because you've got the PCPDX club room, exclusive content for annual members. Wow.
Yes.
You've got to know what that is. Members enter here, you know, I daren't click on that in case I get banned from the website. below you've got purchase a membership, and then you've got all these, it's very clear, so you can be a member, you can be an online member, so which is pretty much the same benefits.
Yeah.
But obviously one's online and if you're like
it
1,000
will be for
miles
a little
away,
while, right, until all this stuff clears up.
You could be a participant or you can be a volunteer, and I guess there's different
free
pay
membership
scales.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm. I'm glad you feel it's clear. There's been
it is. And you've got
endless
all the benefits
hours.
All the benefits down the side and different membership things. So that's really good.
Awesome. Mm. Thank you. It's been a journey. So fun though.
And join us for Picture featuring Susan Bean, B-E-I-N.
Yeah.
On Thursday, August the 13th. What sort of artist is Susan?
Susan is actually an iPhone. She was also an instructor at New Space back in the day. She does some really neat, she's done other types of photography. She's been a photographer for a while, but she's moved to iPhone photography. So, you know, sometimes that's a camera that's overlooked. And so I thought some people, that's all they have and they love photography. So why not show them what they can really do with it?
Mm-hmm. I just purchased a zine from a good friend of mine called Meredith Wilson, and she's made a zine of pictures. I think they're mostly iPhone, if not all iPhone, that she took on the London Underground, and they're classic portraits in the style of who was that? It was probably Walker Evans or somebody used to do the surreptitious pictures. Of course, with an iPhone, it's easy because no one knows what you're doing, do they? But she just got these beautiful iPhone portraits of folks that she travels with. They didn't know she was taking the pictures, you know, but
So Susan Bean, and then we have Zeb Andrews is coming on for Holga Ramas.
Yep.
Lori Verba, she'll be on. She's a film photographer. And she calls herself a multimedia artist, I believe. Visual, analog, visual storytelling. So, yeah.
Sounds really
And then, actually, we had tentatively have Darren Ju, who is an underwater photographer, coming in December. Wow. He photographs whales and such.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, he was... I just remembered, like, I don't know how we follow each other on Instagram, but he's on Tales of Light, that Netflix show about photography. And I realized that's how I found him. And then I connected with him and he said, yes. It's like, wow, maybe we can do a Photoclopedix whaling trip, you know?
Wow, man.
So all these things, everything, folks joining as online members, all this stuff is online broadcast through Zoom or some such thing.
Yes. Yeah, and then we do a recording, and that's what you're finding on that front page once the video is uploaded.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
But yeah, we're going to be developing our virtual membership data, I shouldn't say database, but our virtual membership even more as we go along. Any events that we do, outings, as far as if we did do a whaling trip, all of that stuff would be open to anybody. Any of our members would get a discount on those things. So, yeah, still developing, always, everything.
Right on.
Everything's an ongoing project.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Thank you, Angela. I've really enjoyed the chat. Enjoyed chatting with us?
It was very entertaining.
There you go.
It was very enjoyable.
Glad we finally got you on anyway.
Yeah, thanks for coming. And
thank you.
We'll catch up with everybody else
real soon. Yes, whenever we're back week or two's time, whenever.
Cool.
Sounds great. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Enjoy your day.
You
bye-bye.
Too.
Bye.